Thank you for being here. I know that the Lord will bless you because that's what He is. He blesses His people for being obedient. We're always grateful when the Lord blesses us. And we also should be grateful when we're disobedient that He chastises us and turns us towards Him and we can repent and ask the Lord to forgive us. So, kind of beginning from a verse that was mentioned this morning, Isaiah 54:17. Can we all go there, please? It always looks different when you're up here. And I thank the Lord for the opportunity because He gets us ready for whatever He calls us to do. And this is an opportunity for Him to prepare me. Thank you for those and all of you for being here and willing to listen. Hopefully, the word of the Lord will come out crisp and clean and understandable. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this day and thank You for always being there wherever we go. Our hearts and minds sometimes wander off and lose focus on You, Lord. We're grateful that You're there and Your loving and tender hands will guide us back to You. And Lord, thank You for this body and heal our pastor and Sister Lori and many others, Lord, that are suffering in this body physically and maybe even spiritually, Lord. Just ask You to put Your hands upon them to help them. Because You can do it, Lord. And we just want to praise You and thank You when it's done. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if we're looking over in Isaiah 54:17, it was mentioned this morning. And it was said even given as a, not a suggestion, but I took it as a requirement to go home and to read it because it was mentioned in the sermon and even more than once. At the end, and you say, wait a minute, okay, do you do that all the time? Well, don't follow me, follow the Lord. No, I don't always do those things, but I should, because God put people in positions, whether you like it or not, He uses people to get our attention so we can learn and to be obedient unto the Father. And we got to look here, it says, no weapon. That's zero weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And He's talking to the nation, His apple, His people. And this can be also applied to the church today. The church has to realize the gates of hell will not prevail against us. We should be charging those very gates with the gospel. We should be charging those very gates with the doctrines of God, because that's our weapons. Those are the things that we carry, and the Lord has given those for us so we can be His servants and not be afraid. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. There's plenty of people out there condemning the children of God today. We have to remember, we don't work for them. We don't work for this world. We don't even work for ourselves. We work for God Almighty and Him alone. We serve Him. We worship Him. And that's who we belong to. We are His children. So don't be not afraid, because God has overcome them. Jesus told us that. He told the disciples. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. I've heard it many times, and even in when I've been working, what heritage do you want to leave to children? What heritage do you want to leave behind of this business? And the heritage is Jesus Christ, Him crucified. He was buried, and He rose again. Put that on your gravestone, because that's who we are. We are the witnesses of that by the power of the Holy Spirit. And there is righteousness of me, saith who? The Lord. The righteousness is of me. We are righteous because God is righteous. He has poured out His righteousness upon us. And what a privilege. What an honor. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. You saw us in our sins and trespasses, not worthy of anything but death and death alone. But you said, no, I'm going to send somebody in your place. And we know that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's our righteousness. And He stands before you today. And when I step back or when I walk up, I am standing in the shoes of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Is that blasphemy? Blasphemy? No, it isn't. This is how He did things. He gave some pastors. He gave some teachers. He evangelists. To do what? To help us to mature and to be more like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So He gave the apostles. Who are these people? God's used these apostles. He taught them day by day, 3 years, and same with Paul. And He taught them the doctrines that He wanted them to know, that He prepared them for. And then as the Bible was being put together, whether it be in the New Testament, these people that we read in the epistles, they did not have a full Bible like we do today. They had to take it from the doctrines that were given to the apostles. So now, once the apostles had everything completed, God had said, put the seal on the book there in Revelation, we have a complete doctrine of the apostles in the New Testament. So as we step in a position, whether it be in the classrooms back here, all of them, even up here with the Sunday school and Pastor John or whoever may be up here on Wednesday nights, stepping in the footsteps of the very one that saved you. Does that not make you stop and think, what are you doing here and why are you doing it? It makes me think. It makes me revere the Lord. Because when you stand up before other people and start talking about things that are of God, it's important that you stay focused on Jesus Christ. And then as you're sitting there, who are these people sitting here before me today, Lord? If you're a born again child of God, you are His disciples. He's called you to be like Him and to learn and to grow and to mature to be like Christ. Be ready. So let's go over to Joshua, since that was also mentioned this morning. And I don't want to be too long-winded, but Joshua 24. Think about Joshua. Who was Joshua? Well, as a young man, he was sent out to spy on the promised land. Him and another fellow and 10 others. Joshua and Caleb came back and had a good report. He did not come back with fear because he believed and trusted God. He didn't have to go through 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. He already trusted God. And the good thing about Joshua is he learned from a good leader. Moses was a great leader. Moses taught him many things, and he relayed the things that God wanted Joshua to know when he took over. And God spoke to Joshua one-on-one. But a good leader, what does a good leader do? They prepare, and I'm a military type, they prepare the troops to be able to come from wherever they're at into the next position. You say, why is that? Because that's the way God is. He taught His disciples the very same way. He taught them to be ready. Because they were going to go through persecution upon persecution. They had to understand and live the doctrines that they were going to preach and teach. And so, Joshua, same way. He had matured 40 years, and then he became a young leader, as far as leaders are concerned, that never existed like this before in the Bible when it came to God. God had always led the people of Israel. And that's who we really think about it. We may be in a church that's called a church, and we are the body, many members of this body. We're born again children of God. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. We have the Holy Word to guide us by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have people that have been given gifts so they can honor and help others, edify others to grow in the Lord. But there's no focus on the individual themselves. These are given of God. There's no focus. If you have great talent, thank God. I love people who display their talent because they get up there and do it with vigor. They do it with zeal. They do it with practice. They don't wait around until someone comes up and says, "You're doing a good job. You're good job, Billy Joe." Forget that mess. We're here to worship the Lord. We're to get all our praises to Him and thank Him and to love Him. And once you start developing a heart like that, like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was, Jesus walking the earth, we're going to realize one simple thing. What did Solomon say in Ecclesiastes? He said something very simple but profound. He came to a conclusion. Fear, revere, make Him the one and only in your life. Fear the Lord and keep His commandments. That's it. But there's a lot to that. So let's look and see when the mantle is being passed and the responsibility that we will have as people my age and older and some younger will have to pass on to the next generation. And what his instructions were to do, Joshua, there in 1 Joshua 24:13. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which you built not. Getting the drift here? This is all God's doing. And ye dwell in them. Thank you, Lord, for everything you have given me. You dwell in them of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not. Do ye eat? This land that we are living in now, we went from a land of Egypt. We went a land of sin. The Christian today, the picture. Now everybody wants to get in heaven right away. That's a good thing. But that's not what God wants. His desire is to be obedient and trust Him and to live this life according to His will He's given us. So love this life. Not the world, but love this life because He's given it to you. He's made us a new creature. And we should love that with all our heart because it came from Him. He did it all. We did nothing. We did zero. And now we're possessing a land that is actually very good because it's been given of the Father. Oh, I got to go through this persecution, this thing. Someone's going to make fun of me. Oh, those goofy Christians, whatever they may say, means nothing to God. So if it means nothing to God, it means nothing to you. He's already prepared us. He says, they persecuted me, they laughed at me, did all those things. They're going to do the same to you. They hated me. They're going to hate you too. So don't get that in your mind. It means nothing when the Lord thinks and He tells us. And that's encouragement from our Father. Now, therefore, fear the Lord. Revere Him. What is the most important thing in your life? Now, he's not a thing. He's everything. He's everything that we can't even imagine possessing, because we have yet to see very little who he is. But in the scriptures, there's many things that the Lord says who he is. He doesn't try to convince you. He just says it. You either believe it or you don't. And we have believed because he, the Father, has revealed it to us from heaven. In sincerity and truth. When we come, when you get, we're at what point do I come, or any of us come? Is it when we pull in the parking lot? Maybe so. Is it when we open the door? Maybe so. Maybe these doors. Maybe these doors are there to keep people out or allow people to do what they want to do. No, this is the whole house of God. You have to come in here prepared to serve Him and nobody else. All the conversations should be centered around our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and Him in the midst. Thanking Him, loving Him, and thanking what He has done for us. And put away the gods, those idols, which your father served on the other side of the great Euphrates, the flood in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. There it is. God saying, serve me. Serve me. Put your hearts and mind upon me. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I love you. This is who God is to us. And if it seem evil, why would it be seem evil unto to serve the Lord? What is evil about that? Because at times we want to do things our way. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all thy ways. And He, not me, not you, He. But you can help me if you have the mind of Christ. And I can help you when I'm doing the things that the Lord's telling me to do. We can help one another to live a God-like life. Trust Him with everything. Choose this day whom ye will serve. You go to a restaurant. The person walks over and starts asking questions or taking your orders, introduce themselves and everything. Can you recall when Jesus introduced you, Himself to you, and says, look at this mess. And let's be frank, it's a mess. It's a mess that we have gotten ourselves into. And we can't get out. We're caught in our sins and trespasses. But over here, on this side, is the representative of all representatives, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He turns and goes to a cross and dies for us so that we no longer have to stay in this, but we can turn and completely be born again and stay, remain, and abide in Him. You can do that. There's only one I know that did that, and that was Christ. But at times, we want to go back over here because it's a pull on our heart, the flesh that we have. And to serve Him demands the understanding that we're forgiven. We're forgiven all the time. We're not forgiven through sin, but forgiven to return from this mess when we want to go back to it and ask Him for forgiveness. We know that He will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, but we have to confess it. Confess it from a heart, a genuine, contrite heart. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites Remember the Amorites were coming in behind them, killing the weak and the children? They weren't good people. They were not God's people. The gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. Now here's one of those slogans. I think we still got it back there. Does this really mean what it means to you in your heart? But as for me, you could be single. You could be living in your own house. But as for me and my house, this is the Lord's house. That's why when we come in here, we don't play games. The games are left for someone else. Go find a place, go play a game of Yahtzee or whatever, and leave that attitude out of the church. But come in ready, because you're not the teacher. You're not the person that God has called you to do certain things. You don't have your own church. There is not a divide. There is not a divide here or there. There's one God. There's one Jesus Christ. He died. And as long as I live and I go to a church and I see that, I will preach against it because it's not of God. And if you don't like it, you got to deal with God. You got to repent and you got to listen to Him and get on your knees and say, I will not do that again, Lord. I've heard it one too many times. Maybe that crazy idiot up there running his mouth might have something to say about you and how perfect you are. This place is a place of worship and worship only. And that's what it is. It was made because He died. I didn't die. No one else died. So keep your mind upon Christ because He's the one that paid the price, not me. But as for me and my house, oh, how pious this statement has been. I've heard Christians say it in an uppity way, in a pious way. But do you really mean that? There's some things I got to clean up in my house. Lord's working on it. But I got to get out of the way and be obedient. Say, yes, sir. Yes, Father. Do we serve the Lord here? We come in here to serve Him. To entertain ourselves. We're to worship Him, to love Him, to serve Him. Remember when Jesus was there and the Father says, in whom I am well pleased. We're to please God. And that's not a bad thing. That is a very good thing. Where our hearts are pleasing the Lord and not self. And not looking for a pat on the back and looking for people to tell us who we are that we're not. Just tell the next person that you meet, say, hey, they don't know the Lord. He loves you. And watch how they respond to that. It may not end up with a salvation, but it's a better response than calling this and that and everything else under the sun that does not pertain to leading someone to the Lord. Because that's who our Lord was. He would draw them by the truth. And His house is truth. In His house, there will be no den of thieves allowed in it. In His house, He demands that we do as He instructs us to do. He's not a tyrant. He isn't. He's a loving, caring Savior who will show us everything we need to know. You throw this down and you go and try to seek man's wisdom, that's where you'll stay. But if you seek the wisdom of God on your knees and asking God to show me how to live in my house and how to be in your house, He will do it. That's who He is. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. So why was it not too far down the road in Judges, God had to send judges? It's not that Joshua is not preparing these people. He's telling them, this is what I want you to focus upon. It's God and God's blessings and what He requires of you. To stay away from the world and to abide in Him. To trust in Him. To serve Him. Of course, don't forsake the Lord. Forsake the world. God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. What is it? Mine, I like to... I'll be honest with you. I think we all need to be honest. And God says, confess your faults one to another. One to another. I like to watch the news too much. What are those people teaching me about God that's going to help me to be a better servant for Him? I love the Constitution. I think it's the greatest form of government we've ever had, but there's not going to be a government like this one tries to tell you how to live, govern your life. We the people. And all those articles, 1 through 10, were written because there was a foundation that they looked upon and saw, and even their independence, they used God, invoked God multiple times. Now, what is God doing with us and His people when we decide to say, we want to have this, this, and this, and I want to serve You now, Lord. I got 5 minutes for You right now, Lord. Get up here. Get up here and let me grab your Bible and let's open it up. Yeah, there you go, Lord. Thank You, Lord. I know everything I need to know. Because I know everything. And then I'll open the Bible, then I'll get on my prayer and spend 30 seconds. 30 seconds. Folks, listen. God demands and He deserves a lot more time than I'm giving Him. A lot more. But He's patient. He's long-suffering. He's willing to take that, whatever it is, He has to deal with it. And He can take it, reshape it, and use it. So the next time you see an individual who's in sin, remember, they're one prayer away from God using them. Think about that. A sincere prayer where God can use them. For the Lord our God, He is that brought us up. And let's pay attention here. Brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, in which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went. And among all the people through whom we passed. If you've been a child of God for a period of time, this verse talks to you because you've had the experience of certain things in your life. You might even had a mom and dad who told you, and even a pastor, they told me, and that my grandfather before him and his dad told him, that the Lord's going to return, and I believe it's going to be soon. And that's our heart. We always should be looking for that appearing of our great God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But He took us up out of a land of sin. He put a robe of righteousness on us. He cleansed us. He says something that every child loves to hear. I love you. Yes, so many times in the Scriptures. He says, I love you. Then He took us from a place where we couldn't get out of. We're in bondage. When we look back at that, we can't. When you're first born again, you don't see all those things. But over time, the Lord allows us to see that bondage because we still have this flesh to deal with. And which did those great signs in our sight. You know, one of the greater signs is not always the healing, but those who are sick and they still continue to come to the house of God. They don't let that impede upon them. They'd rather be here than sitting elsewhere trying to get healed. But the great physician is amongst us. Doesn't mean he's not there. Are you judging, brother? No. I always say, if you're going to do something, lead by example. And if you lead, like our pastor before Brother John, he literally, almost to the point, died. He was a pastor. He was the pastor of this church. He died with pneumonia. And he tried to come as often as he could. But the Lord took him. Great example when you think about it. Preserved us in all the way where we went. He's with us everywhere we go. If I leave here and go to Russia, He's going to be with me. Same with you. If you decided, hey, I want to go to the tip of South America, the Lord will go with you. Now, hopefully, when you do these things, He's the one that's guiding you. But He's with you. He won't leave you. And among all the people through whom we passed, you think when Jesus, when He was in there and they wanted to get a hold of Him, they wanted to grab a hold of Him and kill Him, murder Him, and He just walks right past them like they weren't even there. And the reason He walked past them like they weren't even there, because He was not of this world. He was not partaken in that sin. And that's how we have to be. There's going to be things in our lives where we'll have to pass through and hear all the things that are being said, whatever it may be. But our hearts and mind is on the Lord. And when that happens, you get to the other side. You say, thank you, Lord. But Jesus said, please forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore, will we also serve the Lord? And the question is He your God? Is there anything more important? I know in eternity there'll be no doubt. But to ask the Lord, say, Lord, examine yourself before Him and ask Him, Lord, are You the most important in my life? Are You the Lord of my life? And when the answer is given, respond as the Lord has given it to you. He doesn't lie, and if we are going to lie to ourselves, the double-minded man is unstable in all their ways. So we have to answer with the truth. And the truth, indeed, will set you free. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. It's almost like He's poking at them. Like, I've seen you guys. I've seen how you behave sometimes. He is a jealous God. He won't share you with nobody. Think about that. Because He loves you. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn, and this is harsh, but it happens. It's happened generation after generation. The day Jesus come out of the tomb, this has happened. And he will turn and do hurt. Not that he wants to, but he sees you may be a problem or an issue or be bring dishonor to heaven and consume you. He's a consuming fire. And after that, he have done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve Him. And they said, we are witnesses. We are called to be witnesses. We are witnesses. We're ambassadors. We're children of God. We're saints. We've been set apart for His use. Just heard a few weeks ago someone saying the importance of a testimony when testimonies are given, because you don't hear that much in churches. And I will say with sadness, you don't hear that much anywhere. We can hear our testimonies here, and they are great. Jesus Christ is my testimony. And if you're going to be a witness, Jesus Christ will save you. Jesus Christ died for you. Jesus Christ has gone before you to go on that cross. We're to be witnesses, but that's not really what he's talking about here. But we are witnesses of God. Who else is going to do God's work? The world? Now therefore put away, said he, strange gods, those things that are going to interfere, are going to get in the path, which are among you, and incline your heart. A heart that's set apart, that he died for you, so you can stand over here with him and say, Lord, I keep wanting to go over there. He says, I know. But you keep coming back. Don't you ever give up on me. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But you need to get closer to me. You need to give me your heart. And once you hand it out to Him, we serve Him with our heart, not with our lips. And we think about Joshua, and we can continue. Now therefore put away, which said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, Lord our God will we serve, and His voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant that day. Here I am. I'm just a little speck of dust in comparison to this whole universe. And Joshua, a much greater leader than I could be. We can examine that. We can even have a debate on it, but I would lose hands down. But he put a challenge out there before them. He did something. So he made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. Let's challenge one another in the Lord. Let's challenge the Lord. Say, Lord, as a group of believers of one body, let's make that challenge one to another. Just as Joshua did to the people as he's about ready to go and be in that land. So we can decide today how we're going to live. We're going to do, and Brother John, I've been here, he's been up here probably since 02, and you do 365 times 2 plus times what number of years, and that's how many times he's got up here and preached. And every time, he, especially on Sunday mornings, he pours his heart out for you. He doesn't do it for you, but he does. He does because that's what the Lord says to do. And we choose to do what we want to do and how we want to go about doing it. This world has no philosophy that I care to hear about. All I want to hear is what the Lord has to say to me, and that should be your desire. You know? What is it the Lord is teaching us tonight? He's saying, give it up. Give it all to me. I'll take care of you. I will be your God. All you have to do is do as Joshua instructed them to do, to the point they accepted that responsibility. Will we fail? No. Because Jesus already said the gates of hell will not prevail against His truth. As long as we're teaching the doctrines of God in this church, as long as we're trying to live for the Lord, we have been blessed more than we deserve. And the next time you open your Bible, think about this one thing. This is your Bible, Lord. What you want to tell me today? Let us pray.